If we're going to deny ourselves and turning from an unlawful use of God's law, we have to be brought to see by God that this whole law, just like creation, just like everything He's made, everything, His first interest in all is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, His beloved Son. And only when He gives us this heart will we cease to want our first interest to be at hand. Only then will we want to have His first interest at heart. Barnabas didn't know it when he brought the price of this land. He didn't know it at the time that the Lord had separated him by grace to serve Christ, His King and High Priest, through the preaching of the gospel. Barnabas, is going, we'll see throughout Acts, is greatly used of God. And at this time, Barnabas, Luke's writing this, so he's writing it to us, and he's telling us that he was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. He was a son of comfort. God used him to comfort His people, to preach the gospel. But, and the heart that he's been given here to do this is manifest in this act that he performed here when he went and sold some land. He viewed everything not his own, but had all things common with his brethren. And therefore, he sold this piece of land that he had, and he brought the price of it and laid it down at the feet of the apostles, that distribution should be made to his needy brethren. But this same heart that's manifest by this act of Barnabas here is the heart God gives to all His vessels of mercy in the season of His love. It's the heart He gives to every one of His servants, you and me and all of us, according to the measure of His grace to serve Him and to serve His people. But it's only going to be when He's brought us to see Christ as His first interest and made Christ our first interest that He'll use us in His kingdom and in His church. Only then. We won't be fit for anything else but killing, just like Ananias and Sapphira until then. So let's look here at this in Acts 4:36. Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, country of love, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The key to understanding here, what it was that God did in the heart of Barnabas, the key to understanding it, God doesn't put anything in His word that's unimportant. It's all important, every bit of it. The key to understanding what took place in the heart of Barnabas here is this word right here. He was a Levite. That's the title of the message. Barnabas was a Levite. And we're going to see just how true that is. He was a Levite, a true Levite. I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 3. And I want you to hold your place there with me for a few moments. We're going to look into God's law concerning the Levites according to the flesh. And that's how we come to understand something of what God did in the heart of Barnabas, the Levite. Under the law, the tribe of Levi was chosen and separated from all other tribes by the Lord to be priests unto God. And this is the reason the Lord gave for choosing them. Look here at Numbers. Did I say Leviticus? Numbers. Numbers 3:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore, because the Lord said, I took them from among them. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me, I sanctified unto me in that day. They hadn't been separated until right here when the Lord told Moses, now separate them. But the Lord said, in that day, when I passed through Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. Now hold your place right there. Don't turn yet. The Lord chose the Son, who was born first, to be His. The Lord gave the firstborn son authority over the younger members of the household. The Lord gave the firstborn a double portion of inheritance. The Lord gave the firstborn the crown rights in the succession of the kings. A king passed the rights to the throne to his firstborn son. The Lord's law of the firstborn son has its end in glorifying God's Son. Colossians 1:15 says He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Hebrews 12:23 says we've been brought to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Now here's the point, brethren. According to His good pleasure, God set apart a people to be His. Like He separated the Levites by saying, they're mine. I separated them. They're mine. No other reason needs to be given. He said, I did it. They're mine. And that's the case with everyone that He put in Christ. God the Father did this for a reason. He did it to glorify His Son. God gave His people, His true Levites, as a gift to His Son. I won't have you turn there, but in Numbers 18:6, this is typified whenever the Lord said to Aaron the high priest, behold, I have taken your brethren, all these are His brethren, the firstborn son's brethren. He said, I took your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel, out of all the other people, I took them, and He said, to you they are given as a gift for the Lord. They're given to you as a gift for the Lord. He gave them, Romans 8:29 tells us, He chose a people for Himself and gave them to His Son for this reason. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the images of His Son, that He, His Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. So everything the Lord's doing here is to glorify His Son. Every bit of it. Now I want you to see substitution in this. If we're going to understand what caused Barnabas to do what he did, we've got to see what Barnabas was made to see by the Spirit of God. I want you to see substitution in this. There in Numbers 3:12. When he said, I've taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore, they're mine. I chose them and set them apart instead of the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. And he says here, on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel. When God put His people in Christ, in the will and purpose of God, He redeemed all His elect children in that one. He calleth those things that be not as though they were, because as He sees it, that's how it is. He's not a creature of time like me and you. Christ is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And on that day, as He's picturing here, on that day that I passed through Egypt and I judged all this land of Egypt right here, I judged them in that day that I took my people and put them in my Son. I judged them that day. I separated them to be mine, and mine they are because of what I did in my Son. You see that? You see that? When the Levites were taken in the place of the firstborn in Israel, that's a type of grace. That's a type of the sovereign grace of God, taking Christ, the firstborn of His people, to serve God in laying down His life. That's what the Levites, that's what this choosing of them was for. They had to lay down their life from then on to serve the high priest. Well, but He's passed by all the firstborn in Israel. And that's a picture, brethren, of Him pouring out His wrath on His Son in the place of you, the Israelites. who he passed by, and he didn't take their firstborn sons for this office, none of them complained because they didn't have to give up their firstborn son, Art. Instead, he took the Levites, and they were thankful to God that he took the Levites because he chose to take them in their place. That's how it is when somebody like Barnabas, who's been under the law all his life, is brought to see that salvation is not about some kind of superior grace where you've been elevated to a point where now you can perform on your own and take glory. Salvation is all of God. And it begins with God setting apart His Levites for Himself in Christ and judging the world in Him in that day that He chose them. Were the Levites separated on that day? Back there when He passed through Egypt? Were the Levite tribe of Levi, were they separated in that day? Not according to the flesh, but according to God they were. They were. He said they're holy now, on that day. So in our text, when the Holy Spirit shook the house, He shook Barnabas in the heart. And when He did that, this one who all his life had been a Levite according to the flesh, he shows by this act that he manifests, that he understood that the law was given to instruct him in righteousness. This law was given to instruct him in righteousness, just like all the law of God's given. To teach him that from all eternity the Lord had hallowed him, had sanctified him, and had said, "You're mine." It was to teach him that, and he beheld that he was the inheritance given to God's Son. He was the gift given to God's Son by God for the Lord. That's what Barnabas beheld. And God chose to glorify the Son of His love, and thereby Barnabas beheld, this is the reason this grace has been poured out on me. It's because of Him. And Barnabas, when he heard the Son of God, the high priest, the one who is from the country of love, from the country of Cyprus, Christ the Lord, when he heard Him speak, he realized his citizenship wasn't in Israel. It wasn't in Jerusalem. It wasn't in this world. His citizenship was in the land of love, in Cyprus, in heavenly Jerusalem. And Barnabas manifested when he came with a loving heart, and that he bowed to God and he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. This one who had been a Levite. This one who, according to the law, had every privilege under the law. And now he says, "I see what my privileges are. And they're better than that law could have ever manifest. They're better than that law ever could have shown. It was just a type and a shadow. The righteousness of God is manifest by faith of Jesus Christ." Not by faith in Jesus Christ. We don't see the righteousness of God when I look at your faith in Jesus Christ, Eric. I see the righteousness of God when I behold the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's what Barnabas is beholding, the righteousness of God. This is his right. This is his right. Now look here secondly, there in Numbers 3:6. To understand Barnabas' new willingness to sell his land and bring the price and lay it at the apostles' feet, consider the end purpose for which God separated the Levites. Consider the end of this law. Verse 6, "Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charges of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel." Barnabas knew this law. He was a Levite. You know he knew it. This thing gave him all kinds of privileges. He knew this law. But he knew that the tribe of Levi was presented before or to Aaron, the high priest. And that tribe of Levi was given to Aaron to do his bidding. Those sons were given to Aaron to do whatsoever Aaron commanded them to do. And those sons of Levi were given to Aaron for the purpose of serving in the tabernacle for the people, for the congregation. Because in all of it, it's bringing glory to the high priest. It's bringing glory to God. It's bringing glory to His Son who is pictured in the high priest. When the Spirit of God created life in Barnabas, when it came to him and gave him life, he beheld that God had wholly given him to Christ to serve Him and to keep His charge and to do it for the edifying of Christ's people. Not for His glory, not for Barnabas' glory, not for any room for Barnabas to be able to boast, but because they're Christ people, because they're Christ redeemed. That's why Barnabas was called out and put into the ministry, was for that purpose. That's why, brethren, God called you out, was to serve Christ Jesus the Lord, to submit to Him, to His commandments, to His charge, to serve His people as unto Him. That's the purpose of it. Let's see here, Barnabas, being a Levite, he knew how the Levites were cleansed to this office, and now he saw Christ where he never saw Him before. You can go at your leisure and read Numbers chapter 8, but let me give you just an overview there of it. Moses and Aaron were commanded to cleanse the Levites by sprinkling the water of purification on them. That's how they were cleansed. And that's typified the Holy Spirit's work of cleansing our conscience by turning us to trust Christ alone. When the house was shaken, who shook it? The Holy Spirit did, and filled them. This is that sprinkling of purification. And then the Levites shaved their bodies and washed their clothes and took with them two young bullocks and fine flour mingled with oil. And that's typified the grace of God. What did God's grace cause Barnabas to do? It caused him to lay aside that which he looked at and valued most. It caused him to lay that aside. And it caused him to lay aside all his filthy garments of self-righteousness and wholly be given to God alone. And that lamb, those two lambs that they brought and that fine flour, one of those lambs was slain in their place. They put their hand on that lamb, and that lamb was slain in their place as a sin offering, typifying Christ's one offering. And then that other lamb was offered as a burnt offering, typifying the sweet smell of the faith of Christ, wherein the righteousness of God is manifest, which is unto all those for whom He died, and it's upon all those for whom Christ died, who believe. That righteousness of God is unto all His people. It was unto the Levites only. It wasn't to the rest, just to the Levites. And it was upon them. When that water was sprinkled upon them and that they were joined to that high priest, that God said, they're mine. They're hallowed unto me. They're mine. Revelation 1, Jesus Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the righteousness of God manifest by the faith of Christ, by the faith that Christ had toward God. And this is that righteousness that Barnabas beheld. And this is the only thing, brethren, this is the only work that will cause a sinner to look at everything he's got and understand that everything I got is God's. And everything that is God's is for this first cause, to glorify His Son. And it'll make us see, brethren, that we want to glorify His Son. We want His Son to have all the glory. Barnabas, when he came and sold his lamb, he manifested that this was what Barnabas believed. He manifested that Christ, his Lord, was his all. I don't preach Christ and that's all. I preach Christ because he is all. He is everything. The reason men don't go to this word and see that Christ is everything is because Christ is not everything to them. God has to make Christ all. And he does that in all his people. And in his good pleasure, in the time of his good pleasure. Before, in his spiritually dead condition, Barnabas served an earthly priest, an earthly high priest, because by the law, he had to do that. He was bound by the law to do it. And so all his religion existed around bondage to that law. Even if he didn't want to, he had to serve that high priest. He had to do it. The regard that so many so-called Christians have in our day, brethren, and they reveal it in their acts that they perform in the message that they preach, and in the manner in which, and the motive behind why they give what they give and do what they do, it's manifest by their own words, by what they preach and the message they'll set under. But the regard that so many so-called Christians have for Christ is no more than that of a man. Do you hear what I said? The regard that so many have for Christ is no more than what Barnabas had towards that high priest when he served him under the law. He was just serving a man because he had to. And folks will go through the routines of religion, calling on Jesus, claiming to serve this one because they think they're obligated to if they want to escape hell. This is how you got to do it. I like what Brother Joe Terrell says. He said, I won't say it, never mind. But now in newness of spirit, Barnabas served Christ his high priest in spirit and truth. Not because he was under the law, but because the love of Christ for him constrained him. He bowed to Christ, and because he wanted to, because he trusted the faith of Christ as his complete salvation. That his faith laid hold of the faith of Christ. He saw Christ now as he is. And that was all his rejoicing. He wasn't looking at Scripture now and go, well, now, according to the letter, this is what this said. He had a spiritual understanding now. He had all his theology was lined up with the fact that God's first and foremost purpose is to glorify His Son. The righteousness of God is manifest by the faith of His Son. That's the gospel is the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith, from that faith that is unto all his elect and upon all them that believe. It's from him to you. It's from faith to faith. For the just shall live by faith. Those that he justifies, they're going to live by his faith, by the faith that he exercised, the faithfulness he exercised in justifying them, and their faith lays hold on him, on that, on his righteousness. His person and his finished work. Before, Barnabas served an earthly tabernacle, kept the vessels in the congregation because the law bound him to it. Didn't this same legal bondage prevail among those in the early church? All right, we'll see Ananias and Sapphira. They did what they did out of hypocrisy. They did what they did trying to serve in the letter of the law. And out of a covetousness for the glory of God, for the glory of Christ, for the glory that was bestowed upon Barnabas, for the glory that their brethren bestowed upon Barnabas for this kind act, that's all they wanted. And it's the same today. But Barnabas was this way because before Christ came into his heart, he didn't hear what the law was teaching him. He didn't see the beauty of that law. But when Christ came, when faith came, now then, what the law couldn't teach us, what the law couldn't show us because the law could only teach us we're guilty, And the law can only teach us that, show us in shadows and figures and types Christ. But when Christ comes, now we behold that picture in the very image of the things. But now, having been made alive in spirit, Barnabas left the temple. He left national Israel. He left them. Left them behind. And he came to Christ, the true high priest, and he came to the Lord's true Israel, his people, his brethren. And he manifested in such a way to show that I ain't going back. I'm not going back. I'm sold out. This thing is true. Christ is all my righteousness. I'm going to lay down my life for him. I'm laying down my life for my brethren, because that's what he did for me. And every believer on the sound of my voice knows this is the case, because Barnabas, because it was the case with us. And if it hadn't been the case with us, well, I called an election sure, brethren. Because God opened our eyes and turned us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that we might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Christ. Now look here thirdly with me. Numbers 18. What made Barnabas, and what makes a sinner, so in love with Christ, and so incredibly sure and persuaded that everything will be perfectly fine with his eternal salvation? What makes a sinner who understands that? What makes him totally give himself for the good of God's people, for the good of Christ's sheep? What makes him do that so much so that he'll do what Barnabas did right here and sell a piece of land and take that price of that land and bring it and not tell folks what they ought to do with it, but bring it and lay it down at the feet of apostles? You get the gist of this. This is a Levite, a man whom the law said had every right and privilege of the Levitical priesthood according to the law, who had everybody bringing everything to him and serving his flesh. But when Christ came, he says, I don't want to have anything else to do with that, because I see now who that law is fulfilled in. And this man that he sent, he's God's messenger. I'm not his messenger, Barnabas said, and I'm going to take this and lay it down at his feet. And his messenger didn't say, come and put it in my hands either. His messenger said, put it down here at our feet. We don't want you putting it in our heart, in our bosom. Just put it here on the ground. Later on, we'll distribute it. That's not our care. Our care is you, Barnabas. That's our concern. And our concern is you, because Christ is our concern. And now look here. What'll make a man do that? Numbers 18. Numbers 18 in verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. As this Aaron, the high priest, you know, he's a picture of Christ. And as much as Christ Jesus had no part or inheritance with this world, amongst this world, and the things that the flesh lusts after, as much as the Lord God of glory is his inheritance, that's how much he's the inheritance of his people. Look here with me now. Look down at verse 23. And the Levites, shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now this is talking about Aaron's brethren, the Levites. And they shall bear their iniquity, and it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel, they have no inheritance. Do you have an inheritance here? You might have something that your father's leaving you children. But is your inheritance really here? Our inheritance is in glory. Our inheritance is with God. Now look here now. But the tithes of the children of Israel, how are they going to get by then if their inheritance is not here on this earth? How are they going to get by? How are they going to live? They got to live. We got to go until the day appointed when we'll die. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I've given to the Levites to inherit. Who gave it? God said, I gave it to them. I made every provision for them. Therefore, I have said unto them among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. None. Look over at Numbers 35. Numbers 35. See, he separated them to serve Christ the high priest. And because Christ Jesus the Lord's inheritance is God Almighty and His people. Brethren, by the same token, the Lord said to His people, the Levites, that He separated to serve Him. He said, your inheritance is not of this world. I'll give you all the food that you need. I'll provide it for you. That's what He showed right there in Numbers 18. Now in Numbers 35, the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession, cities to dwell in. He didn't just give them food, provide food for them. He gave them whole cities. Give them cities to dwell in. And you shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in. And the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which you shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. Listen to how exact the Lord's purpose is to provide for these Levites. Listen to how exact it is now. He gives them the measurements of exactly how big these suburbs will be. 1,000 cubits round about. And he shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits. And on the south side 2,000 cubits. And on the west side 2,000 cubits. And on the north side 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the midst. And this shall be to them the suburbs of the city. And among the cities which you shall give unto the Levites. You see, brethren, in the exactness of it, we can see, brethren, how that God exacts everything. Predestinated us in all ways. And these Levites are not a picture right here of His people as much as they're a picture. They are in a way, but they're also a type of Him choosing people out from among this world and using this world, just like He used the children of Israel, to provide for His brethren. You notice we're going to come here in the next chapter. We're going to see that Ananias and Sapphira did something and were killed for what they did. And God taught the church through it. There were manifold lessons taught through it. But the money that they brought from selling that land, from selling that possession they had, it went to the church. The Lord used even the rebellion of Ananias and Sapphira and their hypocrisy to provide for His people. That's what the Lord's teaching you and me who've been made a Levite unto Him spiritually. That He's separated unto our high priest. If we've heard Christ our high priest speak, we know, brethren, it's our eternal salvation is totally secure and exact by what He's done, and so is everything in this earth. Everything. In order that you and I not have any worldly care whatsoever, God does in the heart of a sinner what He did in the heart of Barnabas. It's to see that everything He has in His possession is common with all His other brethren because it came from His God. It came from the One who created it and made it for the glory of His Son. And so when He saw one of His brethren had need, he didn't hoard away His possession that He had because He said, God gave this to me. I'm going to give it to help them. You see that? And look here, and among the cities which you shall give unto the Levites, verse 6, there shall be 6 cities for refuge. You know why the Lord calls out these Levites, and you know why He gave them these 6 cities? Was so that the manslayer who had slain somebody could flee thither and to them, so he could go to those cities and be spared. You know why the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased to call out his sheep, and why God is pleased to separate you in Christ the high priest, and why he's pleased to call you out and give you this heart to serve like he gave Barnabas. You know why? So that you're a city of refuge. Together in this place, this is a city of refuge. But every one of us individually that's saved by his grace are a city of refuge, where when a man realizes that he's sinned against God, he can flee to you, and you're somebody God will use to tell him the truth and point him to Christ and say, here's your refuge. Here's your refuge. That's what those cities of refuge are all about Christ and the glory of Christ. But that his people are one with him, brethren, and just as he is, so are we. He gives us that heart, like he gave Barnabas. And so all the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. And them shall you give with their suburbs. And the cities which you shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many you shall give many. But from them that have few he shall give few. Everyone shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance which he inherited. Now, Leviticus 25:32. Leviticus 25. And hold your place there. In the law of the Lord God, he made every provision to sustain and keep his priests. He gave them everything they needed to eat and live and survive. He gave them cities to live in. He gave them lands to graze the cattle on. And then they even had greater privileges than anyone else in Israel when it came to the law of Jubilee. That year when the trumpet was sounded and every man's debts were forgiven and his land was restored, they had greater privileges than everybody else in that law too. Look here in verse 32. The cities of the Levites and the houses of the cities of their possession may the Levites redeem at any time. They didn't have to go by the other restraints that was on the rest of Israel where they only had a year to redeem. They could redeem it at any time. And if a man purchase of the Levites, if he makes a purchase of the Levite, then the house that was sold and the city of his possession shall go out in the year of Jubilee, for the houses of the cities of the Levites are their possession among the children of Israel. But the field of the suburbs of their cities may not be sold, for it's their perpetual possession. This perpetual possession, brethren, this land that was given to typify the true perpetual possession. This land is what Barnabas sold. Because he saw, that land's not my perpetual possession. That law's telling me, my God's my perpetual possession. And I have everything in him. He separated me and put me in him. He's given me as a gift to his son. And his son has given his life for me. Laid down his life for me. Sent forth the Spirit and purged me from dead works to serve him. And not only that, but he's provided me with a city whose builder and maker is God. He's provided me with a country that is the country of love, that is the country of his habitation, wherein dwelleth righteousness and true holiness. And he's given me all temporal provision. He's given me everything that I have. Do you think Barnabas would have had this thought in his mind? You ever had this thought? You mean to tell me all this time that I have been esteeming myself so highly as to think that I was walking righteously before this law that God gave, and yet I never, ever saw the one in whom this law ended? You mean to tell me that even then, because he loved me and separated me and hallowed me from eternity in him, in his son, he didn't destroy me for all my self-righteousness even then? And Barnabas says, I'm going to take this possession and sell it. because I have my truth filled now. I've got the riches of God's grace now. Everything that He's given is mine, and I know it's mine. And He's given me brethren that I didn't know I had. These are my true Levite brethren. Brethren, the Scripture says, if you're children, then you're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. The Lord is the inheritance of His people. And our Lord is our inheritance. And the spiritual lesson taught in the Law of Jubilee is the lesson taught here in everything that God does in providing for us in Christ Jesus. Here's the law. Listen, here's the lesson. Look at Leviticus 25:17. Ye shall not, therefore, oppress one another. The law is oppressive. Bondage is oppressive. These poor folks that's sitting around and people are making it out to be like that there's something that they're glorifying the flesh, they're feeding the flesh, they're making people glory in the flesh, and it's all oppression by preaching what man ought to be doing or ought not to be doing, instead of preaching what Christ has done, which makes a man do what Barnabas did right here. But here's what this law says. Don't oppress one another anymore. But here's what you should do. And here's what preaching the law is not doing. Thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Wherefore, ye should do my statutes. What was his statute here that he gave? When Barnabas said, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, He's all my hope and all my stay, and I love His brethren as myself. And he said that by manifesting it in his life, by bringing that land and selling it, and bringing the price thereof and giving it to his people. When he said that, that's the first day that he began to see what it is to do God's statutes and keep His judgments and dwell in the land in safety. It's the first day he ever beheld it. And the Lord said this, because everything is governed to glorify His Son, and saving His people glorifies His Son, and making His people walk honorably before Him glorifies His Son. He says, therefore, I'm going to provide everything for you so that there will not be any hindrance from you glorifying my Son. In verse 19, he says, and the land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety. And the greater significance is to it, brethren, is that that's eternal glory. That's where we're going. If you trust Him, if you know Him, that's where we're headed. To be with Him forever. So in our text there, look back there with me, Acts chapter 4. Barnabas, he heard the word of the Son of Consolation, Christ the Lord, and it made him a son of comfort to preach the gospel to his people. And this Levites, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. I can hear the Pharisees flying to the law to condemn Barnabas the Levite. Oh, but Barnabas, the law says Levites are not to exchange their land with anybody but their Levite brethren. That land is supposed to be a perpetual possession of you. You're not supposed to give it to anybody. If you want to honor God and bless God and serve God, you ought to not be doing that. The Scripture give no account of any of the apostles coercing Barnabas with the law to make him lose his life. And by that I mean what he manifested in selling his property. No man bribed him with special rewards in heaven to make him give himself for the edification of his brethren. If they had, and if he would have done it for that reason, it would have been the same hypocrisy with which Ananias and Sapphira came. And God won't have it. He won't have it. Nothing but the love of Christ for such a lawless rebel as Barnabas now saw himself, well, can make a sinner submit to Christ and lay down his life for his brethren. That's it. And so Barnabas answers these Pharisees. I can just hear him answering them, saying, Christ, my high priest, has freed me from the law. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He is the image of the shadows and types of God's law. And therefore, I'm doing exactly what He told me to do in my law, in His law. I'm giving my possession. I'm exchanging my possession. I'm not selling it. I'm just exchanging it. I'm just, that which is common with my God and me is common with them because it's His. I'm just exchanging it with them, and they're my Levite brethren. That's what I'm doing. They're true Levites. They're spiritual Levites, and I'm just sharing what I got with them. That's it. You see that? Peter's going to ask Ananias here in the fourth chapter. He's going to say, when you had that which you had, wasn't it your own? When you sold it, wasn't the money your own? You do with it whatever you want to. The hypocrisy wasn't in that they... It says they sold a possession, and it says here that Barnabas sold a piece of land. I don't know what possession it was. Generally, possessions bring a little less money than land does. But regardless of the matter, the point being is, it's not that they didn't. If they didn't bring as much as what Barnabas brought, that's not what made them hypocritical. And the fact that they just gave some of it and didn't give all of it, that's not what made them hypocritical. When you've been free, and you know you've been free, you know, brethren, that you can serve the Lord in the manner in which God has, the measure of grace with which He's given you to serve Him. And it's accepted of God because you trust in His Son. You're not looking to what you do or don't do. But the hypocrisy was, is they saw that glory that Barnabas had bestowed upon him from the people in thanking him. They heard those praises going up to God and glorifying God for their subjection to the gospel and for God blessing them with the substance to provide for the brethren. And they wanted that glory. That's what they want. That's where the hypocrisy is. In every situation, brethren, that's where our hypocrisy is. We want the glory that belongs to God alone. Well, has the Lord written His law in your heart? If He has, then meditate upon this thought right here. And I'll end with this. The love with which God has toward His Son, and the preeminent concern with which God has toward His Son, is the same love and preeminent concern He has toward you. He has passed the rights to His throne to His firstborn, Jesus Christ the Lord. He said, I'll make Him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. And He's done that. And if He's made Christ your king, priest, you're a true Levite. You are a Levite, just like Barnabas was. Barnabas and the people around him thought he was a Levite before. But when God worked the work of grace in his heart, He revealed, according to God, he was a true Levite. He was a Levite. And the light of every spiritual Levite is to willingly give everything because God gave His Son. And His Son gave everything for us. And everything we've been given into our hands and at our disposal, brethren, is to be used for him to bring out his sheep out of this world to behold that very thing. That's why we have everything we have in this life is to be used for that chief end, because that's the end for which God made it, was to glorify the Son of His love. All right, brethren.